And happy Wednesday to everybody. I appreciate you. Love you too. Infinity times whatever. I try the best I can. But I love you and I appreciate you. And tonight is a very important teaching. And I know there's a table here, and I guess that might have messed you up because it ain't normal. That messes folks up, don't it? It does mess people up. People are like, well, what's that about? And they get, but I need it for something I'm going to show you so I can have good explanation for it. But again, if you catch what I'm going to teach you tonight, then you are where you need to be. If you don't know what I'm, but if you don't catch what I'm saying, you've got to catch up. All right. So let's leave it at that. All right. Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We got together last time, last Wednesday. Man, I enjoyed Sunday. How about you all? Good to have Sammy with us, Sister Sarah's brother. Amen. That was a blessing. And so I hope he got what he came for. But we had a great time in the Lord. What a powerful word. I've already heard confirmation about that word this past couple days. But Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 was a second seal and the second beast. Remember, this is a prophetic unison. In other words, when these things begin to take place and the seals are broken, they are in sequence, they are in order, and they're happening virtually at the same time. And you need to understand that. Okay? And so we talked about that second seal being broken open. And remember that it was the red horse, which represented the color of fire. So it wasn't just fire engine red, it was the color of fire. And what was his responsibility? His responsibility was to take the peace that the first horse gave on the first seal, which was what? The white horse with the bow and the crown with no weapon. So we know that was the spirit of Antichrist. We know that was the Antichrist system bringing in false peace through deception and through seduction, and through subduing, and that we've watched take place over the period of time. And then the second horse, obviously the color of fire, was what? Was war, was unrest, rioting, murder. Remember, the word to kill means to slay, to slaughter, or to butcher. If you've been following anything that's happening in Israel right now, in Jerusalem, they're butchering the Israelis. They're not just taking sticks and stones and guns, they're stabbing them. I don't know if you've ever been stabbed before. I've been stabbed before. It ain't very fun. I think I'd rather be shot than stabbed. Anybody been stabbed before? I think I'd rather be shot and taken out than stabbed and wounded for a while. How about you? Somebody said, I'd rather have neither. I agree with that too. I'd rather be sitting at home eating a bowl of ice cream. But if I'm going to have my rathers, let's go ahead and get it over with. What is my point? Slaughter is taking place all across the world today. Even as we speak, wars are taking place. And so power was given unto him. Remember, the power and authority that was given unto him had limitations. That's important that you understand that. Because as the days go by, we have to understand that the enemy is on a chain. Everybody say chain. That old dog's on a chain. You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean you can be arrogant about it and take chances. You know, in other words, you better know your enemy, and you never know if that chain will break. Amen. So remember, he takes peace away, the state of national tranquility. Now, there's nobody in this room that can honestly sit here and look at me and say, we are a peaceful nation. There's nobody that can tell me right now that we live in a peaceful world. I don't care how close to Christmas we are and how much they rerun, we are the world. We're not any closer to peace. We are years and miles and millennials away from peace. In fact, we're waiting on the Prince of Peace to get here. Isn't that right? So he said he's given a sword, a mega sword. Remember that? Megas. It's a mega sword, which means it's not just a large sword. It means it covers the entire planet. There's not a peaceful place you can go. Remember the Antarctica, they're getting drunk and beating each other up. I wonder what they're doing in the space station. You don't get to hear those stories, but I'm sure they're, you know, they're swinging. I mean, what do you say to the guy? I'm going to kill you. Are y'all here today? You don't have imagination, do you? Did you leave it at the door because it's church? I mean, you know, I don't know what they're doing up there, but wouldn't you? Carla's like, that's probably right. But anyways, craziness is happening all over the place, all around the world, and probably in space too, wouldn't you think? Oh, anyhow, anywhere there's a man and a woman, there's a fight. All right, let's go to... I'm trying to get you all happy because you come in here, there's a table in the room. Revelation chapter 6, are you there yet? It's just like sheep. What is that? All right. There you go, Jim. I like that smile. All right. Verse 5. I'm warming you up and getting your giggles and your blood pressure moving because I'm going to get you in just a few minutes. The word's going to get you and bring you to reality. Okay, so let's recap real quick. We're at Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. But I want you to remember and write down the first seal was the white horse. You got that, right? That was false peace, deception, seduction, subduing. Number two, or the second seal, was the red flaming fire horse, if you will. That was war, unrest, worldwide hatred. Peace is taken, it's stolen, it's removed. Okay? Now verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, write that down, the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. Again, the translation is to go. The translation is to go. In the original text, it's not to come and see, it's to go. But again, it's not going to change the meaning of it. So go. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. Write down black horse. It's very important that you understand these colors. So you have a black horse. So number three is your black horse. We had a white, we had a red, or flaming fiery red horse. Then the third was a black horse. Now next to black horse, I want you to write death and famine. Death and famine. Death and famine. Okay? That's the black horse. You look up on the screen and see him. I don't think he's going to look that cute. The black horse of famine, of death. Now remember, anytime peace is taken, it's taken because of what? War. It's taken because of unrest. It's taken because things aren't stable. Things aren't natural. Things aren't normal. And then when that takes place, when war takes place, what's next? Famine. There's death. All through history, when we watch world wars and we watch unrest take place, what happens? Cities are destroyed. Factories are destroyed. Crops are destroyed. Farmers are ran out. People run for their lives. They don't stay stationary when the enemy's coming in. They run and they flee from their positions, and that which they once had is overran by an enemy. And so I want you to see this as we are entering into the third seal. And remember, I'm teaching from the perspective that these seals have already been opened. We have already entered into this hour. Okay? And I'm going to prove some of that in just a minute. But I think all you need to do is go home and flip on your television, and you can see for yourself that the black horse of death and famine has already started to ride. Remember, this is the problem with the church. The church, first of all, has been taught we're out of here. Because you have a pre-tribulation mindset, you don't think, people in general, don't think nothing's going to happen. So our prophecy teachers have taught us from a point of view, this is for them and not us. But I'm here to stand before you today and tell you this is for us, that we're entering into that season in that time. You say, well, I don't see it here necessarily in America. Well, I'm going to tell you a little difference in just a minute, but our brothers and sisters and people worldwide are already experiencing this. Remember, this is like a storm. It's coming across the continents. It's coming across the horizon. Again, we think we have a wall that blocks everything from America, but it doesn't work that way in Bible prophecy. In fact, any nation that forgets God is turned into hell. And so on the horizon, this cloud, this darkness, these horses, they're already riding. Okay? And I want to prove that and show that to you. And so I behold I beheld a black horse, and he that sat upon him had a pair of balances in his hand. So I want you to write scales. Put scales in your notes. Scales always represent judgment. They always represent famine. They always represent drought. They always represent something very negative is about to take place. Somebody's about to be judged. Somebody's about to be found wanted. Somebody's about to be found that they have an unjust balance in their life. And so this third horse, this third seal is broken, and he's carrying some balances, some scales in his hands, okay? It's very important that we point this out and we emphasize this. It's because, again, we're of the mindset that we're never going to see judgment. Well, we're being judged right now. We're in judgment. Let me try that again. Somebody can help me. We're in judgment right now in America, in the world. But here's the thing. It's progressive. Everybody say progressive. This is only going to be progressively worse every single moment that God turns the notch up. Not us, but God turns the notch up. Okay? We are at the point of no return. This is very exciting.
Oh, it sounds like a black horse and scales in his hands.
It's very exciting because what we're watching is prophetic reality and current reality colliding together, which can only tell us one thing. Jesus is coming. The King is coming. Because these horses are riding, there's another one coming. Amen. That ought to give us a reason to shout and a reason to rejoice. But there are so many people, and there'll be people listening to the CD, that if they don't catch this, they're going to miss a lot of things in God. They're going to miss a lot of things in the coming days. So again, we have a black horse, and he has the pair of scales or balances in his hand. So you have that written down, I hope, that it says judgment. Remember, it is judgment. It's not only famine. It's also economic judgment. I want you to write that down. It's economic calamity. It's economic calamity. Why? Because we're suffering from seals 1 and 2. In seal 3, it becomes the balance. It becomes the scale of God. It becomes the judgment of God because of what happened. False peace. People bought into false peace. When you have false peace, you have false prosperity. The only prosperity is kingdom prosperity. But because we went into a false peace, we had a false prosperity. Then what happens whenever people find out they've been hooked, booked, and shook and stolen from? They go to war. People get angry. People get mad. How many of y'all like being stolen from? Nobody does in the room. I'm sure you don't tell somebody, hey, go in the closet and pick something else out. You know, we don't feel that way. Amen. We feel anger. We feel revenge, if you will. And especially if we catch the sucker. Oh, come on, help me now, especially we catch the guy. But here it is. And then we come into the third seal, which it now all this starts to come down. So it's famine, but it's also economic calamity caused by the effects of war, deception, superinflation, and hyperinflation. I do want you to put those two words down, superinflation and hyperinflation. Pastor Jen can probably speak much better on those things than I can, but hyperinflation. I mean, I put a video on here several years ago of the Weimar Republic back in Germany and how they had wheelbarrows full of millions of their dollars just to buy some food. Millions of their dollars. You all remember the stories? Some of you all remember the stories and the video that I had on here? That's economic calamity. That's economic judgment. And that comes through these specific things. So here we go. We see that happening by the balances. So you have that written down. Verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say. Now let's clarify who that is. Who is that? You got to go back to Revelation chapter 4. I'm not going to go back there, but who's in the midst of the four beasts? And by the 24 elders, it's Jesus. Okay? It's not a trick question, but just for scriptural understanding, And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. That was Jesus. Go back and look at it and you'll see it. He said, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. So let's do a little bit here on the board. The word there for a measure, here it is. I'm going to spell it up here, but it's pronounced this way, clonox, but it's spelled this way, C-H-O-N-I-X. This is, it's pronounced with a K-L-O. So it's kind of different, but that's the way Greek and Hebrew is, okay? That's your first word I want you to see there, and you can find that on 55:18. I'll put that up here, okay? 55:18, and that would be, let me see if I got that spelled right for you. Yep, I sure did, except I got one eye right there. All right, you got it? All right. So it's for measurement, for measure, it's really important that you know this, okay? Then the next thing he says is this. He said, I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, for a denarius, okay? A denarius. And you could spell that D-E-N-I-R-A-U-S, a denarius, okay? So we have this, then we have one penny, okay? And then he has what? Wheat. Is that right? For a measure of wheat. Okay. And then what was the second thing? And he said three measures of what? So we got one measure. We have three measures of barley. B-A-R. What's the rest? L-E-Y. Okay. Barley. Now, this word here for measure, it equals to this, one quart. One quart. That's the measurement. One quart. And a penny was a day's wage. Okay? Tell me when you have all that written down. All right? Let me show you now in perspective why I got my table so I could put this out here. All right? Now, this right here would be representation of one quart. Okay? Everybody see that? The table good enough where you can see it? Now, I want you to put this in perspective. According to the Labor Department here in America, the average salary for an American is around $158. About $158. Okay? That's right here. Let's just go at $160. Okay, don't ask to borrow it. And don't tell my wife I got it. All right? That's $160. Now, how many of y'all in here would pay $160 for this? You will. You will. Now, hang on. According to the Word of God, this is not me. This is not a financial guy. This isn't some preacher. Who said this? Jesus did. Jesus said there will come a day when an entire day's wage, one penny, would get you one quart of wheat. Now, the reason he separated wheat and barley is this. Wheat was the better of the food. It was the most expensive, but it was the better of the food. Okay? The barley was the food that was given to the slave. Now, let me show you another perspective. I better keep an eye on this and put this right back here. And so when I get hugs, I'll know which way I'm getting. Don't tell my wife I have this. Now, let's put it. What was that? It's probably yours. How did you know I went in your sock drawer? Everything's her. Hey, I signed it all off. It's hers. Amen. She can have it all. But don't touch my blue suede shoes. Now listen, please listen to me, because this is very important that you don't miss this. This is a loaf of bread. Usually a loaf of bread we can go in. Sometimes we get it under a dollar. But let's say $2. Okay? So $2 for a loaf of bread. Put this in perspective. We pay $2 for a loaf of bread right now. But Jesus said, you're going to pay a whole salary, a whole day, just for this. Think of that with me, church. If you can grasp this, if you can understand where we're headed and what's about to take place, then you're on the right page with me. And you're on the right page with the Word. And if you're putting food away, if you're putting things away, if you're really into understanding the prophetic, you're going to be okay. But if you think this is a joke, I don't know what to tell you. $160 to what we pay now, $2. Just an example, the best I can give you. That's in America. There are people in America right now that are living on $2 a day. I gave you the statistic in this church. CNN ain't going to tell you. President ain't going to tell you. But there's people that are living on $2 a day here in America. Think about the nations of the world. Do you know people right now would storm this room to get this out of my hands in certain countries that I've been to, that you've read about, that others have been to? They would literally take your life for this. But we'd throw this loaf of bread away if it had a piece of mold on it. Or if it wasn't the kind we wanted, or you over-toasted it. Mom used to tell you, take a knife and scrape it off, son, and shut up. Is anybody here? But listen to what I'm telling you. If you really believe with me that the black horse is already riding, if you really believe we are in the last days, then you ought to do everything you can to provide for your home. Let me explain in another term so you get another perspective. Jesus said that there would be such scarcity of food that this would be the price. But this is also represented, ready for this? This is what an average man could eat in one day in a moderate diet. That's all he gets. I'm breaking the scripture down to you in all the terms you can understand. Son, I can tear that up in one setting. But according to scripture, according to balances, according to everything I'm breaking down right here, this was what an average man could have as food, his daily sustenance right here. That's his daily bread. That's what Jesus said's coming. Please listen to me. This ain't a joke. It just came out a report in the news, we're the fattest country in the world. And we are. But listen to me. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody mad at me. I want to drive this home because I feel this so hard and so heavy in my Holy Ghost right now. And I don't think the church is listening. I'm not saying you. I'm saying in general. Because this is shocking that our Lord, our Savior, said there would come a day when this would be the amount of food that a man could have to sustain himself based on his daily wage. Let me give you another shocking statistic. That's not including family. Bobby Joe and Mary Lou, they're not included in this portion. You better go find you two or three more days' wages of money to feed the family. The other statistic about that had nothing to do with clothes, shoes, hygiene, petrol, water, just food would take your entire day's salary to get that right there. But that's what Jesus said. And see, because we live in a normalcy bias, and because we live in a place where we think this can't happen to us, even the Church of Jesus Christ turns a blind eye and a deaf ear to these statistics and says, well, it can't happen to us. Right now, according to the United Nations, 805 million people are unnourished today, and they're hungry. That's 1 out of 9 if you do 7.3 billion people on the earth. 1 out of 9. 805. 31 million children die every year of hunger. Okay? We're on the precipice of this. We are on the precipice of this. Listen, just because the stores are full of food does not mean it can't happen here in America. It can happen in a suddenly. Let me give you a shocking statistic. 1/3 of all shipping containers that are leaving the longshore out of California, out of that port, 1/3 of them are empty. Listen to me. You're not going to get this on CNN. You're not going to get this wherever you get your news from. You got to dig for this news because this stuff is screwed or skewed. They don't want you to know and they don't want you to panic. I don't want you to panic. I want you to be in faith and go get your food and put it in your house and store up. Because I can only do so much for you. And my family ain't going to starve. You want your family to starve, you need to do, then go ahead and do nothing and sit on your thumbs and rear back. As far as I'm concerned, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to serve Him in fear and in trembling. Is that a good commercial? You can think this is a joke. I don't think it's a joke because Jesus said this is going to happen. And we ain't raptured yet. So let me go on. So 1/3 of all shipping containers. What do you mean by that, Pastor? That means this, that when China sends all their rubber duckies here, it's full of stuff. When they recall their containers to go back, it's supposed to be full of our stuff. But 1/3 of them are not going back. They're going back empty. Ready for this? It hasn't been this high since 2008. We're at record levels. In fact, it's 20% higher now than it was in 2014. What are you saying, Pastor? We're in trouble. Walmart stocks have just fell to the lowest in 17 years today. Okay? Next year will be worse. Well, it's going to be worse and worse and worse. This is the point, Jim. We're headed to these horses riding in a greater way, in a greater manifestation, but the church sits back and says, well, what are we going to do for a Christmas party? And I'm not against all that. We should plan. But my point is, you better get your house in order. Because this is what Jesus said was going to take place. 3.1 million, I look back at my notes, 3.1 million children die each year. If I said 31, please excuse that, looking back at these notes. So we're in a desperate hour in this nation. I read a report, maybe you saw it too, that the state of Illinois cannot pay the pension payment this month. $560 million they can't pay the retirees. You know what they said? We simply don't have the money. I thought lottery is supposed to fix all that. Oh, man, I forgot. Listen, people, $560 million can't be paid by the state of Illinois for their retirement. That's happening right now. You say, what's the big deal about it, Pastor? Well, what if that lasted 2 months and somebody's on a fixed income? What if that became systemic and then all the people, all the states began to... I can't remember the state right now, but there's one state that can't even pay the lottery winnings. I think it's Kansas. Somebody research that. Can't even pay the lottery winnings, Brother Mike. You won, hey, but I owe you. These are just some of the statistics. These are just some of the small things. I could sit here and just blow your brains from one side of your cranium to the other of what's happening worldwide with the economy. Don't keep your eyes on the stocks. The Lord told us to keep our eyes on derivatives and keep our eyes on Japan. We are in serious trouble, and it can happen overnight. Do you know that most stores only have 3 days' worth of food? Listen, we are in a credit crunch. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean this. Those trucks that go from, let's just say, from Alabama to Georgia, if they don't have credit to pay them, they don't roll. They don't have to fill them shelves up, folks. It's based on credit. It's not based on stock in the shelves. If the banks don't have credit to loan to the companies and the company can't pay folks, it doesn't move. Do you understand? But the world doesn't understand. Most of the church doesn't understand. We are one suddenly. We are one episode away from this taking hold. We're one war away from this taking hold. You say, Pastor, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm trying to get you to move and do something. And the best way I can do it is give you a perspective like that. $160 for a quart or three quarts of barley when that's where we are right now. So that's what Jesus said. Let's go back to what Jesus said. Let's forget about the headlines if you just want to do that. And let's look at the word. Jesus said, let's go back. Verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say. So Jesus is saying this. Not the horse. The horse, all he's doing is carrying the scales. He's doing what he's told to do. But who made the announcement? Jesus made the announcement. And he said, a measure of wheat for a penny. So a quart of wheat for a day's wage. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Keep your finger right here. Let's prove that was Jesus' voice. Let's prove that's what Jesus had to say. Can we do that? Well, I don't know if Jesus... You ever have somebody argue with you in the Bible and the Bible says it? Where is it at? Right there. I don't see it. Let's go real quick. Matthew chapter 20, verse 8. And so when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny, a denarius. So what did they get? They got at the end of the day their daily wage. Okay? But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. That's a whole sermon right there. And they likewise received every man a pity. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. That's another sermon about the saints who were laboring longer in the field and then the new ones that are coming. God's going to be even to everybody. Okay? And then finally it says this, but he answered, verse 13, one of them and said, friend, I do thee the wrong. Did thou not agree with me for a penny? Okay, so go back to Revelation chapter 6. And so Jesus is clarifying it. Jesus is showing us, he's making it easy for us to understand, that if you're going to work for a day's wage, it was a penny. Okay? So a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. So here we are. He is rightfully giving us an understanding. He's showing us, justifying, that it's going to take an entire day's labor to get a quart of wheat or three quarts of barley. Okay? I don't know about you. I don't want to be put in that position to where that's all I can afford or that's all I have. And this does not mean it has to happen to you. Because there's some people you talk to them about prophecy and end times, say, well, that's what the Lord wants. Did you ever think he put it in there to warn you? Did he think he ever put it in there to let you study it out and sit on a Wednesday night at Ignited Church and have some 5'11", I was going to say 6-foot icicle, but 5'11" icicle stand up and teach you this. So what? You can go, oh my gosh, I better put some away. Or I better change my eating habits. That wouldn't be a bad idea for all of us. Just try to eat a little less. Just try to. I have children, so I have to. Hey, you gonna eat the rest of that, Dad? No, I wasn't gonna eat enough. You know, I got half a chicken leg in my mouth. No! Go ahead, you get the rest of it. I'll freely give it to him. Amen? That's a good visual, huh? But he says, look, I want you to be aware. He gives us scripture for what? For teaching, for encouragement, for admonishment. I take this serious because I like to eat. How about you? And you say, Pastor, when is this going to happen? I don't know, but it's already happening worldwide and the entire system is collapsing around us. So I don't think it's too far off. I really don't. I really don't. When you have world leaders that are saying we are in a recession and a global depression while we have Mickey Mouse up at the White House saying everything's fine. I'm going to trust world leaders, Mickey Mouse. Come on, church, help me. Don't leave me hanging on the flagpole. Better yet, I'm going to trust Jesus who said there's going to come a day. Son, you need to be prepared. So let's look at it. Just enough food to support a man, not a family. I've already told you that. Had nothing to do with clothes, had nothing to do with gas, had nothing to do with makeup, had nothing to do with your necessities. It was strictly what could keep you alive. Okay? So you have that. Here's the perspective I want you to have. What is coming with the black horse is extreme economic calamity, extreme budgeting. And it represents also an allowance. This is an allowance. I only have a certain amount that I can take care of my family with or take care of myself with. Okay, so I want you to write that down. An allowance. Let me tell you something. Most Americans do not know how to budget. This is their budget. You ready? Slice or slide. Decline. Oh, man, I'm over. Or open up a piece of paper that says, you bounced the check. Oh, I'm out of balance. See, no, most people don't sit down and discipline themselves and say, this is all I got for the month. This is all I can do. I can't go out with you to eat today. I can't do this. I've got to stay within my budget. We don't do that in America. Wish I had some friends today. We don't do that in America. Because if we'll rob God, we'll rob man. And if we'll rob God and rob man, we'll rob ourselves. And so that's where the Americans are. That's where we are. So what's coming is extreme budget. We're going to have to learn how to budget. We're going to have to learn how to say, I'm not going to buy or spend this extra. I have to be careful. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of us have been there. Some haven't. Okay? Listen to this statement. Your standard of life will change. Your standard of life will change when this starts to appear in a greater way. If anybody's ever had a change of lifestyle, it ain't easy and it ain't fun. You go from here to here, it ain't fun. But that's where we're headed. Now, Pastor, what about faith? I'll get to that later. But this ain't about faith. This is about not faith for then, faith now to prepare for the day that's coming. The Bible says a wise man prepares, but it's a fool who sits there and does nothing. Well, won't they make fun of me because I got a room full of food? Won't they make fun of me because I'm getting low denominations in my money and I'm trying to figure things out? Let them think you're a fool. They thought Noah was a fool until they started banging on that fool's door. And that fool said, who's the fool now, you fool? He didn't say that. It ain't in the Bible, but it's in my translation. You can't see it's in the Hebrew. Nah, 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 nah. He didn't say that. I don't think that would have been Noah's heart. I think I'd have been tempted. I would, oh, God, can I? I wouldn't have done that. I probably would have reached my hand out. It would have been too late. That thing was way up. I bet Noah did everything he could to try to save people. Don't you think he did? Because Noah represents the Father. God doesn't want anybody to perish. There's going to be dying people, folks, in America for food. Listen to me. They're going to die. They're not going. We're not talking about that little advertisement you get for a Thanksgiving meal to the homeless place. Do that if you feel led. We're talking about daily bread. That's what Jesus was talking about. Your daily substance will be gone. It will be scarce. Help me look here if you can. Make sure I'm not missing something. Did he say anything that Christians would be excluded? I just can't see that. I pray in tongues. Am I going to be? No. There's no hidden clause there. There's no small little A to look down on the next page and find your name. No, this is going to be a worldwide global event where starvation is going to take place. Why? Because of wars, because of deception, because of letdown. Folks, I've said it from this pulpit, we're already in World War III. We may not be in the total shooting war, but it started a long while back. It's economic, it's geopolitical, and right now, bullets and bombs are raining down. And we're fixing to see this thing go hot. What comes after war? Famine. what comes after leaving God? Hell. And if you've never seen a starving person, I don't mean a hungry person, but if you've never seen a starving person dying, if you've never seen somebody wanting be eaten, the Bible says it's better to basically fall on a sword, I'm paraphrasing it, but then to pine away at hunger. In other words, the stomach pines away until it's dead. Read it. It's in there. And we sit here and we say it can't happen in America. It's happening and it will happen in a greater form. But think about this. Can I just turn the page for just a second to give you a good thought? What if you prepared to take care of your house, God multiplied the seed sown, and you were able to help a family and save somebody's life? Because you listened to this message. You've been listening to this preacher. Huh? And you said, you know what? I am not going to be selfish. You can't take a dollar with you. You can't take your riches with you. You can't take anything with you. You can't take your car with you. You can't take your home with you. You can't take nothing. But you sure can reap when you get there. But what you reap is not what you had here. It's what you gave here that you reap there. You wait till I get millions of dollars in my hands. I'm going to be dangerous for the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you? I'd be one of the dangerous preachers you ever seen. I promise you, wouldn't be on a new Cadillac with a big steer horns, you know, big horns on the front like Boss Hog. I'd be preaching the gospel. Don't get me started. It's coming, though. It's coming. I know money will come into your life and my life, because if he can get it through us, he'll get it to us. We can't help prevent this if we ain't got no money. Listen to me, church. We can't prevent somebody. We can't, if that's all we can afford, what are we going to do to help folk? So number one, we need to warn now ourselves and prepare so we can. And then number two, be faithful to God and watch him get the supplies in our hands so we can be a blessing. I promise you, there's a great transfer of wealth coming to the church. Not just dollars, because them dollars are going to burn up. I'm talking about resources. I've told this church years ago, people will give in the days that we're coming into now, people will give everything they have for one word from God. We ain't selling nothing. I'm not talking about a Simeon spirit. I'm not talking about, you know, sons of Sceva. I'm talking about there are people that will say, I need to hear from God, and I know God is here. I'm going to just give this to you. I'm going to hand it to Mike and say, thank you. Mike, go put that in the closet. Put that in the treasure chest, amen? Whatever it is. Why? So we can use it against the enemy. All right, let me move on. That felt good, didn't it? But that's our promise. It's not all doom and gloom, but the point is, if we don't do something, he told us on Sunday, he said, if you put bread in my house, I'll put bread in your house. You remember the word? I hold on to that word, man. I'm going to put as much bread as I can into the house of God, into the kingdom of God. All right, so let's go. Y'all still my friend? Well, I haven't made you mad yet. I'm almost there. Verse 6, it says, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Before I go somewhere else, let me explain to you about the, have you ever wondered about that? Hurt not the oil and the wine. It's kind of a proverb. You kind of don't, it's kind of got its mystery to it. But basically, let me give you two scholarly views, and then I'm going to give you the Ben Faircloth view that I found other places. People must agree with the Holy Spirit. But these are two that have been written by scholars in the past. Number one, it just means that the wealthy will not be touched. That's not true. But it's written in some of your, probably written in your Bible right now. If you have a commentary Bible, you'll probably find that somewhere. If not, in your Matthew Henry commentaries or other commentaries, you'll find that that's what they believed. Remember, dispensational view was all this took place during the Roman empires and different empires. They didn't push it towards the future prophetic where we are today, but it's today. Remember, there can be shadows, there can be glimpses and flashes. what did Paul say? The spirit of Antichrist was already at work. So there could have been time frames where different flashes, if you will, of things took place. But there's only a specific time the seals are open, and I believe that's now. Okay? Does that make sense? And so that's what they would say, because it was considered a delicacy. And so, you know, that's what they put in there. Number two, that the crops would be poor, that the crops for oil and for the grapes would be so poor that God instructed the Antichrist and the black horse and that whole system not to touch that. That's the second scholarly view historians, Bible teachers have taught for years and years and years, and through Bible colleges, and ended up in Bibles. But here's my translation and my understanding of it. And again, I found others that agreed with what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. The third ideal, and I think is the more proper ideal, not because I said it, it just fits in place, that Jesus was giving this beast, giving this Antichrist system, giving this black horse a limitation on what he could do to the food production of the world. A limitation of what he could do. You say, back that up. I will back it up. The white horse had limitation, the red horse had limitation, and the black horse will have limitation. This is limited. This is limited destruction, but it'd be so severe, as we'll learn next week, that it ought to make you tremble in the conscience of our mind to think this could happen to our country and the world. Okay? So I believe it's a limitation, and I have other places I've researched that back that up, to the damage that he can do. Okay? Now, here's a second part to that, what I believe. Why do I believe that? Because there are certain things that the Antichrist will still need in the time of his rule. You can go to Revelation chapter 9 and see where it said don't hurt the trees and some other things. Why? Because the Antichrist will still need some supplies. He'll still need some stuff in the world that he can use to rule with. Now, how many of y'all know oil and wine is good for cooking? Oil and wine, that tells us that there's going to be a limitation to our daily substance as well. Because I don't know about you, my wife loves olive oil, and I love olive oil. And my wife, not olive oil, Popeye's girl, but you know what I mean. Olive oil. I love olive oil. And how many of y'all know that's good for cooking? So what he's telling us is some of these things that can be considered luxury are not going to be part of your daily substance. In other words, let me break it down. My translation, you're not going to go through fast food and eat Chick-fil-A. That's for free. But the point is this, there will be limitations. Now, I'm going to go to one other scripture, and we're going to get out of here. Why? Here's what I want you to see in the severity. Go back with me to $160 a day. Go back with me to $2 for the bread. Everything I just told you is before the mark of the beast. When I'm gone and that's the mark of the beast. This is before. I'm going to show you later where we're raptured out. And it ain't before this. Man. Listen, these churches that got $500 million in the bank and ain't doing nothing for their people, they're going to be in trouble. They're going to be in trouble, these people. These missions, these ministries that have all this money stacked away for what? For what? It's going to go. But look at it. This is before the mark of the beast. Think with me in your mind how much worse it will be before that comes up. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to try to get out of your way. I don't want to go. I like to stay here and go in the next one. But we're going to say that the next week. And then we'll go as far as we can each scripture or each time. But these ones I had to do slowly. Now go with me, Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is your overlay. It's your comparison or companion to Revelation chapter 6. I really believe that. Okay? Because isn't this funny, Jim? The same Jesus that talked there on Matthew 24 is the same Jesus talking in Revelation? Okay. You don't have to go to school for that. You just read. So again, he tells them in chronological order. He's not trying to trip anybody up, and he's not just talking to the Jews. I think God and Jesus knew when he wrote the Bible, he was going to talk to the world, and people could get confused, and I don't believe God is the author of confusion. So sorry for all my scholarly people that are above me and people I've studied under and read. I just don't see Jesus tripping us up. And if I ask him how to get to the store, I don't think he's going to take me through Albuquerque. He's going to get me right there, maybe as a crow's fly, but he's going to get me there. Look what he said. Number one was deception. What is that? The white horse. We already talked about that. Then he said, and you shall hear of wars and reports of wars. Again, that is the flaming red horse or the second seal. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Ready? Here you go. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Where are we at? We're at what? The black horse. After what? War. Are you with me? We'll see later on how he goes back and forth between the seals, but right now I'm showing you in order how it's working out. So he said famines. Do you know what that is? No food. No food to eat. Famine. Who said that? Jesus did. He said it there, and then he said it when? Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. He said there ain't going to be no food. If there's going to be food, you're going to get a quart full. Okay? Then he says there's going to be pestilence. What is that? Sickness and disease. That's plagues. Do you know that America has plagues in it right now? The bubonic plague is in America? Do you know that? The nurse who had the Ebola, she's back in the hospital? It's still circumnavigating around the earth. It's just not as popular. What was the lung disease that happened in New York? I'm trying to remember. It's got a creepy name to it. But it's still happening. If anybody can remember that name, it's just really weird. And people have died over it. You say, Pastor, that's so minuscule and how many people here. I'm just telling you it's riding. I'm just trying to tell people it's here. Just because it hasn't full blown doesn't mean it's not here. A little cancer is cancer. A little disease is disease. And we're watching the hand of God move off this nation in such a rapid way. I mean, it could be overnight. These things explode. But Jesus said, let's go back to him, forget me. There shall be famines, there shall be pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Now let me just show you something. I know a lot of preachers have probably never taught it this way, but I'm going to teach it this way. Can I do that? The word for earthquakes is seismos. That's where we get seismic activity. But the root word is sio. And there's a double meaning to what Jesus said. Because we always say earthquakes, earthquakes, earthquakes. And there are. I've taught from this pulpit and I've gave you statistics. They're in the multiplied tens of thousands of earthquakes in the past couple years. It's crazy. And it's going all over the place. In fact, I just read before I came in here that in the Bay Area of California, they had a bunch of, they called it a swarm of earthquakes. Like 20 of them at 3.0 during the day. They're having them in Oklahoma. So we're starting to see that. But the word seismo and where it comes from means a shaking of man. A shaking of man. In other words, the other definition is to agitate the mind of man. So it's not just shaking of the earth, it's the shaking of man. Are you listening to me? Where? In every place, diverse places. So it is earthquakes, but it's also the shaking of man all over the world. Well, I'm going to move to the Caribbean. It's shaking in the Caribbean. Well, I'm going to bug out. Me and my family headed to Costa Rica. The money's going to fall in Costa Rica. They're going to eat this too. And don't go to Venezuela. I had a dream the other night I was going to Venezuela via Cuba. That was a nightmare. I don't know what my wife fed me, but I was like, I was bugging out of America, and I was headed to Venezuela, but I stopped in Cuba, and I'm like, oh, that's from the toilet to the septic. Mike knows what I'm talking about. So that wasn't the Lord. I'm not leaving, trust me. All right? If you want to look up these words, Sio is 4579, and Seismos is 4578. So I'm not pulling no tricks on you. Two more minutes, I'm gone. I'm not pulling no tricks on you. So it means to agitate the mind. That's 4579 is Sio and 4578 is Seismos. It means that men would be thrown into a tremor. Can I tell you what CEOs of American companies and companies around the world are saying? They're saying it's over. They're saying we are in recession. We are crashing. Okay? What does that mean? People even in high places are tremoring. Their minds are being agitated. Now, let me take you now to one other scripture. Go to Luke chapter 21. I'm going to get out of your way just to prove what I just said to you. I always thought it, preacher so-and-so always said it. Well, preacher preaching so-and-so wasn't wrong. So it's just a little more to dig deep into. That's all. Just dig a little deeper. That's all. Let's look at it. Luke chapter 21, verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilence. And look what he says in addition. And fearful sights and great signs shall be seen from heaven. So Jesus, it gets a little more explained here in verse 11 of Luke 21. So great earthquakes are going to be in divers places. Famines, pestilence, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. What does that mean? The Bible says men's hearts will fail them for fear for the things that they see coming upon the earth. The seas and the waves raging, roaring. What's happening? Man getting out of his peaceful comfort zone because God has stood up and said, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. Now, we are in the twilight of this hour. We're on the eve of the days that Jesus has just told us here in Revelation chapter 6. I encourage you. I admonish you. I'm going to even go a little further. I beg you to get your house in order. Spiritually first, financially second. Get some food in your house. The best. Put down them combos. If you can't afford a combo, you don't have a right going to buy one. I'm just going to say it like it is. Because when it comes down, listen, I didn't say this. Jesus said this. And you know we have a mentality? Somebody texted me the other day and said this. They said, well, God's just going to take care of me. You know what they did? They gave the food away that I gave them to prepare. I never said anything back. I know what I wanted to say. But see, we're in a fantasy world, and we need to wake up out of it. Amen? But I believe you are awake. But let me just encourage you, do all you can to prepare for the coming days.